Praise God. Praise God. Let's all worship the Lord for a moment. Just go ahead and lift up his name. If nothing else, call on the name of Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's an abiding presence of God here, I guess we can call it. Praise God. I'm going to fool the people in the overhead. I'm going to go to the last couple verses of the first passage. Let's read verses 19 through 21 of John chapter 3. Glory to God. It always takes me a few minutes to get a rhythm in the English service because I'm always waiting for the translation. Praise God. Siempre estoy esperando por la traducción. Y no hay nadie para traducir. Praise God. Nobody here. I said I'm always waiting for the translation and nobody's here to translate. So, which reminds me, this afternoon at 1 o'clock, Voces Unidas and African International Ministries are having a joint service. Praise God. It's bilingual, English and Spanish, and maybe some French thrown in. And Brother Hawk will be preaching in that service. Or should I say Reverend Hawk will be preaching in that service. Praise God. And Reverend Carbonell will be translating. So, and also on Friday evening... here at Calvary Gospel Church, Voces Unidas is hosting the District Spanish Conference. So we'll have a rocking worship service going on here on Friday evening. And then Saturday morning, we're going to have another service, and we're going to have breakout sessions. There'll be worship. Please come and enjoy the fellowship, enjoy the presence of God, support the Spanish outreach. There'll be several hundred people here. And we'll have a great time, so come and join us. Amen. There, my commercial's over. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'm assuming we all prayed, so I didn't have us pray for that. Praise God. John, the writer of the gospel, is contrasting light with darkness. It's a theme that he uses a great deal in all of his writings. It's a theme that is carried on throughout the scripture. The difference between darkness and light, it's a theme that we find used in the literary world all around us. This is a common idea. The difference between light and dark, good and evil. And in the scripture, it has to do with truth and falsehood, and sin and purity, light and darkness. According to John, darkness is a place where sin can thrive, where evil can thrive, where false doctrine is permeated. But light reveals sin. Light reveals falsehood. That's why those who are engaged in evil, those who are engaged in sin, those who are engaged in evil want to stay in the dark. John 3:16, just prior to the verses we read, John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Everyone is familiar with that verse, almost everyone. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, listen to this, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now there's a concept here that many people in the non-Christian world have a hard time grasping. They want to justify their works. They want to argue about what sin is and what sin isn't. But the Bible says this, that the world is condemned because they have not accepted Jesus Christ. There's a distinction there. It's not just that we engage in sin as human beings. It's that without Jesus Christ, we cannot be saved. Jesus and I went to the men's retreat yesterday morning. We didn't go in the evening on Friday, but we went yesterday morning. And Pastor Steve Rogers spoke. I'm just going to get this out of my system because it's going to bleed through into my preaching anyway, so I might as well bring it out. He talked about the fact that of all the things that Pentecostals do, that we as church people and apostolics do, we can engage with people we work with, we can talk to people we know, we spend time on the golf course, we spend time going places, doing things, and we talk about everything. We'll even go so far as to talk about church, talk about our pastor. He used the example of how he rode along with a police officer, and he talked about his wife all day and talked about his dog several times and even talked about his church a little bit. He said, but he never one time used the name of Jesus. Didn't talk about Jesus. Jesus is the light which comes into the world. The light is Jesus. Praise God. I love Calvary Gospel Church. I love Voces Unidas. I love the United Pentecostal Church International. I believe in the organization and in the church, but that's not the light. The light is Jesus. Jesus is the light which comes into the world. John said that those who do evil prefer darkness. Now, this is going to leave some of you out because you never had movies or film strips in school. You may have videos or DVDs, but when we walked uphill both ways to school in the snow, we had film strips and movies, the big reels that they put on the machine and went click, 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 click. And whenever you walked into a classroom and you saw the movie projector out or the film strip projector up, everybody smiled. Because they knew that for at least part of the class, what was going to happen? The lights were going to go out. And for those of us who stayed up real late the night before, it was a perfect opportunity to catch up on a few winks, like 40. And then there were those other kids who they found other things to do when the lights went out. So when a lot of mischief went on, name your poison, spit wads, whatever. I knew some people that would actually, they had it down, they could sneak out of class all the time whenever they knew when the teacher was distracted and they just slipped the door open and out they'd go and they'd be gone. That was it. Sin takes place in the world. I know sin goes on all the time. Day and night, 24 hours a day. Sin is a 24/7 thing. But isn't it interesting that It's not until nighttime that people really gear up and get involved. Go into a place where people are doing things that they know are sinful, and it's not as bright as it is in this room here with light. They have lighting effects, and they flash lights, and they do all kinds of things, but the light is always lower. When I was in college, we always waited until it was later, you know, to go out, because then we knew that's when the action started, when it was dark at night in the darkness. John said that there, those that are given to sin, those that are involved in evil, evil hates the light, and it won't come into the light unless its deeds should be reproved. But if we take that a step further, that's the difference between eternal life and death, is whether or not we come into the light. Amen. You know that this discussion here, this passage that we read in John 3:16, like I said, everyone's familiar with the passage. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then John talks about this dichotomy, this dividing line between light and darkness. So we have that choice to believe. But remember that this is also part of the same conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. When he said this, he was speaking to Nicodemus. And it starts all the way back in John 3:1. And it was there that Jesus talked about being born again. He told Nicodemus, except you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You can't see the kingdom of heaven, he said. That's just kind of a, by the way, something we need to, every time we hear John 3:16 quoted, we need to remember that when he said, he that believeth, it's defined in the rest of the chapter. It's part of the same conversation. And another thing, by the way, in the course of this message, in the course of this time together here, I'm going to do some things with the lights too. So don't be too shook up when it happens. Okay? If anybody screams, it's your fault, not mine. All right. Jesus told John you had to be born again. He said you must, and when John asked, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. When Nicodemus asked, he said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And this is important because I'm going to make reference to it later. And I want to make sure I'm clear that when we're talking about being born of the water, we're talking about being baptized in Jesus' name, because that's what happened in the book of Acts. They were all baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can have that opportunity today. Your sins can be washed away. And I'm going to talk a little more about that. And you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you have to be born of the water and the Spirit. That's how you enter into the light. And when you receive the Spirit, Jesus said, everyone who receives the Spirit, you will hear a sound. It's part of the same discussion. He said you have to be born of the water and the Spirit, and when someone's born of the Spirit, you'll hear a sound. And in the book of Acts, it was always the evidence of speaking in other tongues was the sound that the apostles accepted as evidence that this thing that Jesus is talking about in John 3 had taken place. Amen. So that's file that away. That's going to come up later. Praise God. Matthew talks about the same idea when he talks about the story, when he telling about Jesus' ministry in Matthew 4, verses 12 through 16. Praise God. Everyone say, I'm with you. I know it's Sunday morning. I just want to make sure everyone's here. Praise God. Everyone say, the dark, the shadows, and the light. Matthew 4:12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Praise God. There's that image again, darkness and light. But now he mentions shadow, the shadow of death. Jesus, at this point in the narrative, in the story, he, if you remember the first miracle that he created, or he did, was in Cana of Galilee at a wedding. And that was in the area of Judah, that was nearby Jerusalem. And evidently, the very first part of his ministry began there in Jerusalem. But now he's going up to Galilee. And much of the time, much of his ministry, much of what the Synoptic Gospels cover, talks about his time in Galilee. It's a turning point, but it's also significant that the scripture refers to this Old Testament prophecy that talks about this land that was in the darkness. You see, this region of Israel had a reputation for spiritual darkness. And that's really what the Bible's getting at when it talks about light and dark. It's talking about spiritual darkness. We're sitting here in a room full of light, but some of us may be sitting in the dark. Our spirits may be darkened by some sin or some attitude, or some fear or doubt. Spiritual darkness. This area was geographically far away from Jerusalem, and spiritually and philosophically, they were very far away from the religious center that was in Jerusalem as well. They had a history of foreign captivity and separation from Judah when the nation of Israel was split into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom was there in Galilee. Galilee was a part of that, was a big part of that. So this attitude of darkness and separation from the presence of God, from the Word of God, is something that is being exploited. It's being used by the prophet to tell about the time when Jesus was going to come, when the light of the world would come on the scene and suddenly would show up in this benighted, this darkened area of Israel. You remember Nathanael, when he was told about Jesus, he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That was the attitude. But Matthew 4:16 says, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Praise God. They were sitting in darkness. They were in the shadow of death. Do you think they felt that way about themselves? Should have brought my phone up here for light. Praise God. When you go from light directly into darkness, it's obvious. But when you're in the darkness, little by little, you get used to it. You can already see better now in the darkness than you did when the lights first went out. We adjust with just a little light. It seems to be enough. It seems to be sufficient for some of us. How much light do you want in your life? How much light is enough for you and me? Jesus said at one point in his ministry that he had come to minister to the lost sheep of Israel. When he was here in the flesh, that was his primary ministry, was to reach out to the people of Israel, to God's chosen people. But prophecy and the later ministry of the apostles said that he had come to be a light to the whole world and to the Gentiles included. You see, the difference was this, that Israel was already, they had a light. It was the law of Moses. They had an understanding of who God was. So Jesus first came to them, and then he allowed his light to shine to the whole Gentile world. The book of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 8. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of a necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer, speaking of Jesus. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. According to the law, Jesus was not qualified to be a priest because he wasn't a Levite. But he had a different priesthood. These priests who serve unto the example and the shadow, there's that image of a shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. Praise God. What Paul is saying here in Hebrews is that the Jews, the Israel, had a shadow of heavenly things. They were better off than the rest of the world because at least they had a shadow of the heavenly things. They had a basic understanding that the rest of the world didn't have. The law shows an outline, if you will, a shadow of the real thing, a silhouette. It reveals the presence of the light. But it wasn't the real light. I want to take that to our present day and age. That's what religion does for us. I said, that's what religion does for us. It makes us aware of a light. It makes us aware of the heavenly things. It makes us aware of something that's there. It gives us a basic outline. The law shows an outline. Religious systems and practices and organizations, they can only provide a shadow of the truth. Any religious system is only a shadow of the truth. It's a tool that God uses to lead us to himself. Organized religion in itself, this is a thing that kind of gets under my skin. Organized religion is not evil. I'm in Madison and I said that out loud. I just want to grab people when they say that. You know, I start talking to them about my experience with the Lord. I start telling them about Ian, probably about my church too. And they say, well, I don't believe in organized religion. Well, what do you believe in? Do you have a schedule for your day? Do you organize your time? I don't believe in organized. Well, then you don't believe in religion, first of all, if you don't believe in organized religion. Because by nature, religion is organized. All right? Now, that doesn't mean every religion is good. And it doesn't mean that they're all well organized. But the Bible gives organization to religion. So organized religion is not an evil thing. It's not a bad thing. And if that's your excuse for not knowing God, then you're missing a big chunk of what the Bible teaches us. Now, again, it's not the light. It's not the end of our worship. That's the problem that became the issue for the Israelites, was that their religion became the center of their life. That's where their light was. They forgot about the God that was shedding his light to produce the shadow. The Bible gives us organized religion, even in the New Testament. And if we apply the book of Acts and the epistles properly, we're going to end up with an organized religious structure. But the verse 5 says this, that they serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, talking about the priests and the tabernacle. who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things. The New King James Version says it like this, who serve the copy and shadow of heavenly things. They serve the copy and the shadow. So what happens with organized religion is there's a light and it's revealing truth. But when truth hits reality in our world, it creates a shadow. So now I'm in the shadow. And that's what a lot of us do with our religion. There's a light. God's revealing himself, but we build up a structure and we hide behind a religion so that we don't have to come into the light. A shadow has no substance. You see that shadow on the wall? I told Brother Hawk that I was going to make puppet creatures on the wall, birds. And then afterwards, here's another reference for us older group. Afterwards, we're going to have Topo Gigio. See, that's about one-third of the congregation. Shadows have no substance, and they can be distorted. I wish I was that tall. It distorts reality. Shadows don't give you a true image of what really is. I'm glad that I'm a part of an organization. I'm glad that there is structure in Calvary Gospel Church and in Voces Unidas. I'm glad to be a part of something that has structure. But the fact is, it's not the real thing. It's just helping me find the real thing. And the real thing is Jesus. You can take any religious structure and distort it to the point where it becomes bigger than life and more important than the light behind it. We can hide in our religion because there's enough light that we can see. But the Bible says this, that we can have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. In the last days, the scripture says, perilous times shall come and men shall be lovers of their own selves. It goes on to say they'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It's not that hard to live in the shadows. But the real thing is the light itself is God. We need to live in the light because only Jesus can save us. Jesus is the one we need to serve. Jesus is the one whose presence we felt here during this worship service. Jesus is the one that spoke to us in tongues and interpretation. Hallelujah. Jesus is the light of the world. There are a lot of ways to not live in the light of Jesus Christ. We can live in the shadows. We can hide behind our religion and our religious ways. We can live in darkness. We can just continue to live in the sin. We know it's sin. Or we can deny the fact that it's sin. But when we continue to live in the grip of vice or the grip of sin or live like the rest of the world, then we're living in darkness according to the Bible. Oh, praise God. Living in the dark, that's a confusing place to be. That's why when people are living in darkness, their marriages crumble. Their families break up. They can't figure out how to forgive others. They can't figure out how to get away from the grips of drugs or alcohol because they're in the darkness. They can't see. And we can get used to it. We accommodate ourselves to the darkness. We become subject to it. We can't break free. The Bible says that we can walk in darkness. But you know what happens when you walk in darkness, of course? You stumble around. You bump into things. You might even fall down. You can get seriously hurt. People who are living in darkness are living in pain. Or we can be like the people in the prophecy in Zebulun and Naphtali. We can just sit in the darkness. I thought about this. Why would someone just sit in the darkness? The conclusion I came to was they tried walking and they kept bumping into things. And they're so overcome by fear, so overcome by doubt, so overcome by the things that are in the darkness that they have given up. And they're sitting in the darkness. People of northern Galilee, the people of northern Israel, they had been in captivity several times. They were rejected by their own brethren. The rest of the Jews made jokes about them. They were tired of stumbling around in the darkness. Maybe you're here today. You've been living in the shadows, trying to find hope and light in religious form. Maybe you've been stumbling around in sin or corruption or vice. Maybe, worst of all, you've just given up and you're sitting in the darkness. Well, you don't have to live that way. We don't have to sit in darkness. We don't have to stumble around going from one painful experience to another for the rest of our lives. We don't have to spend all of our time getting beat up by sin and the devil. We don't have to play hide and seek from God. Oh, I've been a good boy this week. Oh, I did something wrong. We don't have to use religion to cover up our faults. Remember what we read in John 3, where Jesus said, when Nicodemus came to him, he asked him about all the great things he was doing, and Jesus said, yeah, Nicodemus, you don't get it because you haven't been born again. Praise God. You can't see out of the darkness unless you see the light and you walk in it. Praise God. Jesus said people don't want to come to the light because it reveals their evil deeds, their sin, their lack, their fault, their weakness. Praise God. But I'm here to tell you that we all have that problem. We all have sin. We all have weakness. We all have failure. But he said they don't want to come into the light because it reveals those things. We can fool ourselves. We can fool others, but we can't fool God. John chapter 8 says it like this, 8:12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. I'm bringing you into the light. I want you to be free from the darkness. I want you to come out of the shadows. I can set you free if you will come into the light and allow me to reveal your sin and your weakness. Praise God. I don't know what your situation is today. I don't know if you've been sitting in the dark. I don't know if you've been walking around, stumbling and bumping into things all your life, just hurting your soul, hurting your spirit. Or perhaps you're a very religious person. But unless you've been born again, unless you've been filled with God's Holy Spirit, unless your sins have been washed away, like it says in the book of Acts, then you cannot walk in the light as He is in the light and have fellowship with Him. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise God. Let's stand. Praise God. So here's the thing. Oh, it'd be embarrassing for me to go down there and pray, and because then everyone would know I'm a sinner. Well, guess what? We're all sinners. except, the Bible says, except you're born again. Praise God. Walk in the light as he is in light, have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That happens when we're baptized in Jesus' name. See, the struggles, the spiritual struggles, the aloneness, the separation from God that you feel, it can be cured. It can be healed. You can be set free today. But it has to do with darkness and light. And if you will come and commit yourself to Jesus Christ and be willing to walk in the light, that's called repentance. We ask God to forgive us for our sins, and we're baptized in Jesus' name, and our sins are washed away. Praise God. We're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we can walk in the light. We admit that we're sinners. That's the first step. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9 says, he is faithful. He's not going to beat you up. That's the devil's job. That's what the world does to sin. That's what sin does to you. But my God, my Lord Jesus, he will not bring you here to beat you up. He will bring you here to set you free.
Right.
Praise God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what Jesus does. He reveals our sin, we confess our sin, and he forgives us our sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you want to have that experience, if you want to give your life to God, if you want to start a fresh life, I want you to come down here, right down here, and pray and ask God. Honestly, we've all been through it. We've all done it. Hopefully, we've all done it this morning. Praise God. We understand what sin is because we've had to surrender to God over and over again. You can be in the light. You can have fellowship with Jesus Christ. You can have your sins washed away. You can be filled with his Holy Spirit. If just come and let him touch you.